Greetings, everyone. This is episode 21 of the Skulls Cast. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And first off, I mean, we have a large topic that involves a lot of Medibot and his adventure, okay? Because he went on an adventure recently. And we have a somewhat smaller topic that involves an adventure of my own that I went on by myself, foolishly. I shouldn't have done this, but I did.
Tell me about your foolish solo adventure.
This involves the kitchen, and more strictly speaking, my crock pot. You know how I like to bake bread.
Oh, yes.
So I thought to myself, well, why not try out, like, bread in the crock pot? It makes heat. You know? So, you know, theoretically, it could bake bread or whatever. So, then I one up myself a little bit, and I'm like, what if instead of just bread, I make like a pizza, like a deep dish pizza, like extremely deep. We're talking here.
The deepest of dishes.
Because this is mega deep, as far as pizzas go. And so in my mind, I'm seeing this plan where I'm like, yes, We'll line the crock with dough and then throw the ingredients in and then put little slices of dough. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's like lasagna. Lasagna works that way where it has the layers of the stuff. And I'm like, okay, let's do it more like that. So I get some ricotta cheese and I get some Italian sausage. And then I'm like, well, instead of the like lasagna pasta stuff, I don't have any of that around, so I'm looking around the kitchen, I'm like, matzahs! I have matzahs, because it's that time of year. Okay, we'll do it like that. So there's lots of substitutions that go into this. In the end, it's like my own bread dough, and a ton of it. This is like a double batch of my usual size loaf of bread. And let's see, the Italian sausage, the sauce, and the mozzarella, and ricotta cheeses, and the matzah.
Kaz, I'm afraid.
It's all in there, basically. I layer it, and I basically put on... I do kind of a four-state problem, where you can put the next layer on whatever you want, whatever kind of thing you want. It just can't be the same as the previous layer, or touch anything that is the same as it. So I solve that all the way up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do my layers all the way up that way, and it goes about up to 10 centimeters below the lip of the crock, and I set it to baking, and I forget about it for an hour. Come back to it an hour later, and it's pressing up against the glass on the top, and I'm like, oh no.
It demands your attention, Kaz.
I have created some kind of monster. And the dough is still all, like, poofy and doughy and white. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be gross. And it kind of formed a seal. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really open it without, like, picking up the entire crock.
The process that, like, cannot be interrupted.
Vacuformed. But that's actually good because then that locks in all the heat.
Yes.
It doesn't have a vector to escape.
It seals in the flavor.
It does, and it did. But, you know, it didn't... I mean, it didn't cook enough. And it was already kind of late at night, so I just switched it to low and then went to sleep.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I get back to it this morning, and it still doesn't look quite cooked. But I'm no longer willing to, like, leave it on. Actually, no, I did just leave it on, didn't I? Like, I looked at it, and I'm like... Oh, yeah, no, this just needs a little more, a couple more 8 hours in order to cook. And then left it on low and went off to work and came back. And so, I was hungry after work, right?
I'm always hungry.
I knew for a fact that I had been baking this for hours. Like, my body just knew that it's like, you are preparing food. You will go and eat this food soon. Soon, just as soon as you get home. And I'm like, okay, run in the door. And I can smell the sausage more than anything else. It's just like, oh, the whole house smells like the Italian sausage. And I go to the kitchen, and it's kind of I mean, it's different. The dough looks completely cooked. It's become like dumplings all along the side. So it's this big ring of dumpling. And then in the middle is just this pit of an orange slurry that's all of the stuff just mixed up together. And it's like the layers are gone. It has no more sense of layering.
Oh, no.
The mozzarella cheese has vulcanized and become this kind of dough-like strands throughout it. So you have these, like, creatures that have different body parts. Is like, it looks completely gross. It's like doing a dissection on an animal whose innards have been like mutilated already. It's nasty looking. Like there's nothing about this that really looks like food. It's just like orange filling for something.
For your pizza rolls.
And I scoop. Yeah, it does look like the orange filling of pizza rolls, and it tastes kind of like that too, because you know I had a bowl of it because I was actually hungry, and even though it looked kind of nasty and disgusting and all that, I knew what was in it because I had put it in there.
You made it.
So I figure, well, it's not like it could suddenly have gotten gross stuff in there. I mean, it's all food. I started with ingredients. It's not like they're gonna like alchemize into poison. I mean. Strictly speaking, it could, because it's the yeast, alcohol, that's kind of a poison. Yeah, whatever. Like apple seeds and all that. But the point is that I did eat it, and it was nasty, and it was an orange slurry, and I found the parts. It's like there's sort of a skeletal matzah left behind in places. It's picked up all of the sauce. And it was really good. I liked it. Which is good, because I fixed the entire crock pot full of it, and so now I have, like, enough of that stuff for either a family of four for, like, a couple days, or me for a lot longer than that. So I have a lot of it. A lot of this pizza, lasagna, matzah, soup,
some
stew,
sort of
slurry.
Primordial essence of pizza roll.
This is like the pizza goop. This is what
pizza slime.
This is the primordial slime from which all modern pizzas evolved. Really, for all the world, what I should have done was just bake the damn bread and like throw some mozzarella cheese on it afterward and say, that's kind of
a meal.
Yeah,
but then you wouldn't have rediscovered the primordial pizza.
I would not have the primordial goop.
Do you realize just how powerful you have become? With this
well,
knowledge.
Not yet. Sorry about that. I just yanked my my microphone out of my face.
Every
there.
Bite
that's just
of that
powerful.
You take fills your body with amazing knowledge.
But see, I haven't finished it yet.
Right.
I won't be
and
powerful
by the time
you're at
the end, you
it.
Will probably just transcend flesh and become a being of pure thought and energy.
Well, I'm looking forward to that at the end of, like, a week and a half from now when I finally eat all of this stuff down.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I still have some mozzarella cheese, too, so if you and the matzahs and the sauce. So if you just want to, like, have a matzah pizza sometime.
Oh, yeah, that's what I made for dinner.
Oh, well, yeah. That's.
It was great. It also wasn't primordial at all, so that's
no,
a
yeah,
less
no,
interesting,
no.
I guess.
We don't have to, Like, the other thing is that you can't, I mean, I call it a soup, but you can't eat it through a straw either, because it's very, like, thick and chunky.
Viscous.
And any straw would, like, no straw would be able to handle this nonsense. It would just be like, what is this? And you'd pick up, a piece of the mozzarella, like, deep within the vulcanized under-earth of
a mozzarella nodule. They form nodules, Kaz.
Form little mozzarella salamanders. In there.
Evolve into mozzarella alligators.
Mozzarella alligator. Well, that's my adventure.
That's pretty good.
I really could have chosen better about how to prepare that, but I came up with that crazy idea and I had to try it.
Great job.
This is well after my oven got fixed too, so I don't have that excuse. It'd be like this clever excuse. Well, really, I gotta cook it in the crock pot because my oven's on the fritz. And I was like, no, my oven's fine. I. Well, that brings me to Medibot's adventure.
Oh.
Hmm? Mm.
Oh.
What do you mean? Oh. Mm. Yeah. Well, it'd be like, yeah!
A lot of people over the last day or so have asked me what I thought of my adventure, and the answer changes each time for the worse. Every time I speak of this adventure, it becomes less and less of a pleasant adventure.
No. All this means is that we have to scrap this recording and then do it two or three more times until you're describing utter torment, and then post that, because that's our best stuff.
Well, maybe they'll still want to hear the first one, so let's give them
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, this will be the like director's cut or whatever, and they'll have the prior knowledge about all this. So what I mean to ask you about, Medibot, is your experiences this weekend at PAX East.
Alright, so for some reason I decided to go to PAX East. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Something about video games, and I want to make video games, and there are gonna be people who make video games, right? And I can talk with them. And maybe...
Wait, that was your primary purpose?
That was one of my purposes.
Okay, because, you know, we also have friends up there. There was a whole crew from around here who went.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
There's lots of, like, playing video games and meeting people who play video games and doing competitive video games.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
But yes, you know, I would not have gone without the promise that a friend who lives up there about was also going, and we could coordinate and, you know, do things together and have a grand old time. And then I learned other friends were going to be there, and then internet friends are going to be there, and that sounds great.
Yeah, and believe me, things like this are completely miserable on your own. Like, it doesn't matter how interesting the topic matter is. I don't want to go to a conference or, like, event by myself. I don't even like eating food by myself.
No, it's tragic.
Even though I, you know, I do, and I have to. To live, but
some people live tragic lives. Kaz,
some people suffer from tragic slips, and if you just watched someone else die, you'd better watch out, because that's -13 coming at you.
Yikes!
I just want to like I want to draw a cartoon hook on that card, yanking the guy every time I see it. It's too awesome.
Well, that segues nicely into the first thing that I did while I was up there. I'll skip the description of, you know, the plane and driving out
You murdered someone and then yanked someone off a
cliff. No, the first thing I did was play in a Magic tournament.
Oh, okay.
And it was sort of an unusual format. I saw it was cheap to enter and a very good prize for the winner, because it was $10 entry. First place gets a complete set of Dark Ascension.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And the format was Super Mini Masters.
Oh. I might have been anti-preparing you for that.
Oh, yeah.
What is Super Mini Masters?
The way it works, everyone gets two packs and as many basic lands as they want, and they build a 40-card deck.
40?
Yes. And after each round, if you win, it's single elimination. If you win, you get another pack to add to your card pool.
Oh. Even still.
Oh, yeah. So I started off in, I think, 4 colors and basically stayed there, which was a mistake and ultimately led to my defeat, because I really should have just probably thrown out, like, either, you know, stuck with my... You know, I was mostly white, blue, black. I had splashed red a bit by the end. But really, I should have just paid it more attention to my green once I started opening good green and made a 2.5 color deck instead. Lost in the finals. Game 1, Mentor of the Meek, was not removed, and I lost. Game 2, I feel, you know, a bit more honest about losing this one. I walked into a... Gravetiller Worm.
Gravetiller. Oh,
yeah,
oh, like
I
you gave
really
him,
should have seen
you just
him
gave
just
him Morbid.
Activate Morbid during his turn with his 8
mana. I mean, you can't always see that.
When he's walking my 1/1 his 1/1 into my 2/2 and his 1-1 is a token, and my 2-2 is a mausoleum guard. You don't do that when you have the trick to kill the mausoleum guard. Because that doesn't actually get you anywhere. So I lost, and I thought it was a winner-take-all type of deal. But then he's like, oh, no, you get 12 packs. And I'm like, oh. Okay, then. So I felt pretty good.
That's awesome!
Yeah, so I just took half of each, you know, 6 dark, 6 Innistrad.
Wow.
So, you know, I didn't really open much money out of the packs I opened during the event. I had 1 dual land. No mythics.
Wow, no mythics in 12 whole packs?
Well, no, I didn't open my prizes yet, but I opened 6 packs over the course of the event.
Oh, okay.
Other interesting things to know. A guy playing, then flashing back Lingering Souls, and then the next turn playing, then flashing back Rally the Peasants, is a really weird way to lose.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's 5, then 6. You can curve into that.
Yeah.
You could have, like, a completely empty board.
Yeah, and, like, I thought it was okay, because I was at, like, 15, and I only let 3 spirit tokens through. Because, you know, I had, like, other stuff. And then he's like, okay, double rally the peasants. And I'm like,
take 15.
Good game? I'm like, do I have the dissipate? No, I guess you win. Yes, that certainly is 15 in the air, young man. He was very ecstatic about winning. He had actually only been playing Magic for a few months. So he was very excited to win.
Yeah, well, if he does nothing in his entire career except cast Lingering Souls, he could go a long way.
Yeah. I mean, like he had only been playing for a short time, but he's like, oh, yeah, all my friends play, and they help me out. So I basically, I looked at his deck after, and it's like, okay, he basically made good decisions about cards to include. And for the most part, played correctly. He did make a few play mistakes, but then again, so did I, which let him put an 8/8 Trampler on the field. So that was how we started off, with me winning a Magic tournament. I should also say, on day one, I was a bit overdressed. So I was wearing the Wizard Sombrero.
Could you, for the benefit of those who have not witnessed you wear this before, briefly describe the Wizard Sombrero?
Well, first, picture in your mind an ordinary-looking sombrero. You know, it has... It's sort of wide, and it goes up at the ends, and it's more or less, you know, has rotational symmetry, other than the little, you know, it's got a little string, so that it can go around the bottom of your chin and sort of stay on there. So imagine the sombrero in your mind. Then I want you to throw that image out, and now imagine a purple wizard's head is purple. Now, it is not as wide as the sombrero, and it has, sort of a black stripe going up the cone in the middle. And on that black stripe are silver stars and moons. And at the top is a little black tassel. Now I want you to imagine both hats, and I want you to imagine that over the place where the top of your head goes in the sombrero, we put the wizard hat, thereby forming the Wizard's Sombrero. Which is a very deep, powerful hat. And that's what I was wearing on Friday.
I presume you were also wearing other clothes.
Yes.
Okay, good. This is a bit of news about about other gaming culture, which is, I'm sure, was represented there. The Diablo 3 is going to be coming out soon, right? And I played a lot of Diablo 2, but I never realized that my characters never had pants.
No pants slot.
No pants.
Slot.
But in Diablo 3, you can have pants.
Slot.
So it's like this new innovation. So I always So now I go back and imagine, like, a paladin or whatever transitioning from, like, Diablo 2 to Diablo 3. In Diablo 2, he's like, it's drafty. And then Diablo 3 comes out and he's like, oh, I can now fight against the forces of destruction, terror, and chaos with pants, yay! And they're all, like, cheering that they can wear pants now. Yay, pants!
Pants. So
that's an important improvement and innovation.
Yes.
Is the pants slot.
Right. so that's that. I guess, do you want this sort of in chronological order, or just sort of my feelings order?
Well, I guess to make sure that we do it completely, we should go in chronological order.
I'm not sure how well all
the ups and downs. Well, that's okay, too. If you get it, like, a little out of order, that's fine. But, I mean, I think we're still talking about day one,
yes,
and you had mentioned feeling overdressed.
Yes. Well, mostly it was heavy. And I was also wearing my wizard's cloak, which was very warm. And it was already rather warm inside the convention, and so it was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it was bound to be crowded, right?
Oh, yes. I think there were 60 or 70,000 people attending.
Now, is this an honest-to-God convention center or somewhere
Bobo,
like...
Oh, yes, this is
like
the Boston Convention Center.
Okay, that's good. Because there are places that are really Bobo for that. For example, the Dulles Expo Center, which is not a convention center, but rather a gigantic open concrete
pit. No, it is an expo
pit.
Center, which is different.
Oh, okay. So they exponentiated the greatness.
This convention center had an expo center in the middle of it.
Oh, okay.
That's where the expo hall was, where I spent some time wandering around, and things felt a little off, and I would later, you know, conclude why I didn't quite like wandering around the expo center so much, and it wasn't just because my hat was heavy and my cloak was too warm.
So what was the makeup of people there? I mean, I presume you had... Illuminatus Vespucci with you.
So I had Ilves and Ilves's number one cohort with him.
Yeah.
I met up with several. I met up with Ren LeVay and several other of Ren LeVay's friends, and then a lot of internet people, some of whom you may recognize. Not on day one, mind you, but if the names Slow Beef and Diabetes mean anything to you, I met with them.
Oh, no kidding.
And went on adventures.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yes. A Mr. Proton John was also in attendance.
Oh, no. Oh, I want to hear about
it. Oh, we'll get to that. Friday, I wander around the expo hall, and it seems sort of boring, because a lot of the booths there are about games I don't care about.
Like Halo?
New... something-something, Ghost Recon, something-something, Modern Warfare, something-something.
Man with Gun Simulators.
Man with Gun Sims. I went to the Twisted Pixel booth.
All right.
Attempting to find one Mr. Teasdale, who was not in attendance.
Oh.
But I did play some Misplosion Man, and that was pretty fun. Basically plays like Explosion Man, but
did they at all recognize you by name for what our contribution had been?
The people there were sort of sales, marketing, PR types.
Oh,
and this is basically the case at every booth. Everyone is there to sell you things. This is very much a trade show, and I didn't quite realize this going in, and so I was a little disappointed. And I attempted to win a special Gunstringer-themed Kinect, but could not score high enough at their game. It was very challenging. But I put up a good show, I think, at the game, regardless of my failure to pass the threshold to be qualified to possibly win a fancy prize. There were panels going on constantly. And I cared about few of them, because a lot of them...
I mean, did the Man with Gun Simulator games also have panels for
them? People stood in line for an hour and a half to get into the Mass Effect panel.
Okay.
To speak with people from BioWare about Mass Effect. So the third game came out very recently. It's the end of the trilogy, and people are very keen on that. There are a whole host of different panels. The problem is that because there are 60,000 people here, too many of them want to go to the same panel as you.
I see.
And to even get into an unpopular panel, requires lining up, you know, probably 40 minutes in advance.
So it was a lot of playing the stand around and wait game.
Well, a lot of playing the do I really want to stand in line for 40 minutes to see this game? And the answer quite frequently was no. And then there would be panels going on and be like, okay, the panel starts in, you know, an hour. It's, God, where is it? This convention center is too big. Everything looks the same. The maps are all rotated.
Hold on just a moment. I know the problem that you're describing exactly. You and I have discussed this topic before. This is exactly the reason that you should play Magic online and not play Magic in real life with people. This is the reason to go to online tournaments
yes,
and not
because you get to the point where you're doing the thing you enjoyed doing. And skip
yeah,
the other bits.
I mean, being in crowded rooms with a bunch of people who are, by and large, sweaty
terrible,
nerds.
Bad people. I was surrounded by bad people, and the worst part of that is I can't say what makes them different from me.
Oh, get
it's
on.
It's terrifying. So it's Friday night, and I say, ah, the concert. The concert for Friday starts soon. I look at the lineup, and it's like, okay, thing I've never heard of, thing I've never heard of. Okay, Metroid Metal is pretty good. You know, saw them back at MAGFest, though. Protoman are pretty good. Saw them back at MAGFest. What's this? The mini-bosses? They...
Oh, hell yeah.
They weren't at MAGFest. And I love them. Seeing the mini-bosses live sounds great. So I get in line for concert. It doesn't say who's going on first. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll get in there and, you know, someone will know what's up. I sort of, you know, so I stand in line for, you know, about 40 minutes and start. I get in, basically, you know, I could be, you know, I'm sort of overdressed still, and so I don't want to be getting up and moshing with this heavy clothing on, and there's nowhere really safe to drop my hat. So I say, okay, you know, I'll sort of, like, be near the back, you know, I won't be up front with the mosh. And then I get into the, I get up close in the line, I'm like, hey, what time are the mini-bosses going on? I don't know. Like, what order are the bands performing in? No idea. If I you know, come back in 3 hours, you know, do you think that would be a good estimate? It's like, you probably won't be able to get back in.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. So then I get into the hall proper, and it's massive, and 80% of it has chairs. There's a very small section at the front for actually standing up, and I'm like, oh, that's odd. Why are there so many chairs here? Why would people want to sit down? At a rock concert? At a metal concert?
at a rock concert.
And I discover why.
Hmm.
And it's because the first act goes up. They're a nerdcore rap act that I didn't really care for. But I realized why there were so many chairs. And that's because none of the people in the audience had any energy. The people standing up were just sort of standing, occasionally clapping politely.
What the hell?
And it's like,
that is surreal.
Is this a real concert? Like,
oh my God.
They introduced the name of this group. They're a real group, I think. I don't think this is some little fake out opening. I think this is the real opening act. And the music is loud, and he is rapping quickly. I cannot understand his words. I am not so good at the hip-hop genre. But there was no energy in the room. And so I got tired and left.
Man. Okay, as bad as that must have felt for you, or as surreal, imagine what it would be like to be the performer.
Oh my God.
You get up on stage with your rock concert, and you'd be like, hello, Boston! Are you ready to rock?
Like,
and then someone, like, a couple rows back tepidly says, yes, I am!
Yeah, but, like, yeah, no, I think he did that, and there were, like, maybe two or three isolated shouts of woo. I think I might have been one of them, just because it felt like the right thing to do.
I mean, no, even in, like, when you play Rock Band, even when your, like, fake band is, like, really low-key or whatever, you're in these tiny-ass venues.
Yeah.
Those tiny venues are packed with people who are excited. You're behind a metal cage because they're too close to you.
Yes.
And too excited. you never get to the part in Rock Band where you're at a venue that is extremely too large and full of exhausted people who are not ready to rock.
No, they're ready to stand there politely and listen to you perform.
They're ready for
to contrast, when I attended the Metroid Metal show at last Magfest, I bled from my forehead.
There we go. That's rock and roll.
Blood was literally coming out of my body.
That is more
like
the rock.
There were two sections. There was the front section where you moshed, and the back section where you merely jumped up and down with your hands in the air and screamed the whole time. That is a metal concert. That's a pretty tame metal concert, honestly. There was no energy in the room, so I left. I went and I played video games with Walker and some other people, and that was pretty great. We just talked and played video games.
One more word about the metal concert, if you don't mind. The next time this happens, and I really hope that there never is a next time, but the next time that it happens, that you're in a rock concert or metal concert where there's no energy in the room or whatever, you have to use that as your opportunity to shout at the people on stage. Even, like, encouraging shouts, like, I am enjoying your music! Like,
you're doing great! Keep it up! Oh, that was a sick drum beat!
And then everyone would hear you! It would be great!
That would be weird as hell!
It would.
If I
add,
get kicked out,
like,
I win!
It would be add one extra layer to the surrealism. Yeah. That's a game I want to play sometime in a bookstore, like back when bookstores were more popular. I wanted to play this game with my friends and myself, you know, as many friends as you want. And then when you enter, you all split up and go to different sections of the bookstore. And then you read one of the books, any book that you find, get it, and you read out loud. And you stay there reading it out loud until you get kicked out. And whoever gets kicked out first wins. So the idea is not to be, like, more obnoxious than or louder, because that's, like, cheating. There would be, like, a gentleman's agreement about the volume and everything that you can speak at. But the topic matter must be itself implicitly salacious enough or whatever to disturb people. That's the idea.
All right, we'll do that sometime.
We'll
pirate a bookstore.
Either at a metal concert or at a bookstore. So you did play video games, and that sounds like a much better time than all this other nonsense about standing around and waiting for people who are tired out and not ready to rock, and going to panels that aren't interesting and watching Man with Gun Simulator.
Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the occasional Man with Gun Simulator. The problem is to see any demonstration of a Man with Gun Simulator required waiting in line for 40 minutes in the expo hall.
Indeed. What kind of video games did you end up playing that night?
Oh, let's see. What was I think... I want to say I played some Power Stone? No, I also played some Brawl with just random people. It was pretty good. You know, I play with my...
I recall you telling me about...
And, pretty good. You know, just hanging out, playing video games with people.
You know, we'll pick up matches.
Yeah.
Fellow warriors.
Yeah, and then since Walker is really into fighting games, we were watching some people play Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, sort of being like, oh, yeah, you know, so you see this team was popularized by this player, and it works well because of this strategy, and you see the other guy is trying the same thing, but he's dropping his combos, and talking just about fighting games with him was pretty fun, because I'm bad at,
oh,
but
I thought,
still
hold on, I thought
games.
In Marvel vs. Capcom, dropping your combos was called resets, and that it was a good thing, actually. Or was that
it's
just
called
like...
a reset if they forgot to block after.
Oh,
and you
okay.
just mashed into another combo.
Fair enough. I mean, the commentators are kind of bad at that stuff, and it happens really fast, so
I
learned to tell the
more
difference.
Traditionally, a reset is where you do intentionally let your combo drop in such a way that it is very unlikely that even if they... Like, usually the reset involves a mix-up as well, so that you go for the reset, So you flip the coin, you say, if it's heads, I get even more damage on you. If it's tails, you blocked my reset. But the joke is that, you know, whenever they drop the combo, but it keeps going anyway. Oh, wait, no, that was just a reset, guys.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I guess I would have to learn way more about it to be able to tell the difference and understand the nuance and thus the joke myself.
Yeah. Then then we did some other things. I went walked to a 7-Eleven where the soda machine was out of Mountain Dew. I attempted to dispense it and received carbonated water.
Welp.
So I think I got a Pepsi instead. Then I walked on back. You have to walk most places. There's shuttles occasionally that take you to very specific points. And you don't want to eat in the convention center because it costs too much.
Yeah, screw that.
Kez, let's play a game. Let's play the game of how much does a 20-ounce soda cost inside the convention center?
Okay, 20-ounce. 20-ounce. Okay, that's a shade over the 16-ounce, which is still a large soda at regular places. So that would run you more than a dollar just ordinarily. I'm going to go with $4.
That's a good guess. It was $3.50.
Hey,
good.
I went over though. That would not win on the price.
No, it's true.
Still, $3.50 for a 20-ounce.
It's robbery. It is highway robbery.
That is no good.
Which was why I was keen to collect a little bit of that when I went out into the cold, and you know, invariably ran into other con goers because the town is there are 70,000 of them. If you just are walking around close to the convention center, some of the people you see are also there for the con.
See, that's kind of how probability works.
Also, they got lost and had to follow me, and it felt pretty neat because I was wearing my my wizard cape, and I cast this really neat shadow, and the wind was, like, blowing it, and there was this, like, crowd of people traveling behind me, but I was at the front just walking majestically, and I could sort of see the shadow of my cape blowing in the wind. I felt like a wizard.
Excellent.
Then some other things happened, but then we took the shuttle back to the hotel, where I was interviewed by a woman because she wanted to interview a wizard.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, it should appear online sometime soon.
Oh man, we got a link to that.
Oh yeah, I'll give you the URL, you know, in private later.
Oh, okay.
It's ariablog.tv or something. This is very, very nice lady named Aria. She has blue hair. She was very nice. And she asked, are you a wizard? And I said, yes. She's like, can I interview? And I said, yes. And then a man from nowhere had a camera.
Awesome.
It was very good. So that was Friday. Saturday, some other things happened. But importantly, Saturday was the day that I met, I went to the panel, that Proton John was hosting, and harassed him a little bit, you know, good-natured harassment, you know, when are you finishing Superman 64, give Oyster his Game Bridge back, all that good stuff. it's already on YouTube, you can check it out there, but I met up with, Slow Beef and Diabetes, and two of the freelance astronauts. Or are they... Yeah, freelance astronauts, I think. Yeah. And then did things, and we played Mario Kart for a while, and that was great.
See, with that, I feel like I missed out, because those guys are, like, in addition to being, like, semi-important,
they're
pretty cool.
They're cool fucking guys.
Yeah.
I talked shop with Slowbee for a while about programming while we were at the bar. It was pretty great. And then we just talked about random crap and got kind of drunk. And then I wandered on back to the con.
Now, what? There was a bar nearby?
There was,
or there was a bar
near
in
the hotel where Slowbee and Diabetes were staying. And so we took the hotel shuttle there.
Yeah, a lot of hotels will have little things like that.
Yeah. It wasn't actually part of the hotel. It was this just bar off somewhere.
Okay. And, I was just making sure that you didn't, like, tell me to avoid getting a 20-ounce soda at a convention center and then say, oh, well, actually, I went and got, like, beers at the convention center. I'm like, whoa, hold on.
No, it's not that kind
anyway,
of convention,
that's... Dang. So, well, that's a missed opportunity on their part.
No, because this is a family-friendly show, which is why they have man-with-gun simulators everywhere.
They could make a cordoned off area. They could make beer gardens. Come on.
Pretty much. Also, basically every like company there like has some company party or whatever that if you know the right people you can get into, and there's always an open bar or an open enough bar.
Oh man.
I didn't do any of that though. Maybe I was sort of discouraged when Dan wasn't there with Twisted Pixel, so I didn't really have my in.
Yeah.
Because that's like.
That
like,
would be excellent,
off, you know,
honestly.
He's a designer and developer. I can talk design and development with him. I can talk about how much I like the Gunstringer, and I played it quite a bit while I was there, and the answer is a lot. I do like it a lot. I highly recommend it. And no one
you,
paid
you
me
can't
to say
hate
that.
This
I'm
game.
Not just saying
I mean,
that because
like...
I'm literally in it, because I'm not even that funny
yeah.
in it.
Well, I mean... For one thing, I made sure that all of us were funny, because it was my job to do that, because I had time to do it.
I don't
For another,
I was that funny.
I didn't even, like, have to work that hard, because you guys did a lot of the work. For another thing, we didn't get paid anything for that. So you're not... we're not getting paid to say this.
Yeah. It's a lot of
we
us
actually,
not getting paid, but I think we're okay with that, ultimately.
We are, because it was excellent, and it is a very fun game, and I've played it too, and I'm like, it's just, it's not, there's not a lot of a depth, per se. It's just sort of like stand up and play, instead of sitting down and playing, and you just go and do it, and it's like, oh, hey, cartoony fun.
Yeah.
It plays into a missing element from a lot of modern games, which is just starting with something simple and fun, and then not going too far.
Going exactly far enough.
Like, ah.
And I forget whether this was a... I want to say it was that night. I had brought a game with me to the convention, because I heard they had, you know, console-free playrooms. I'm like, well, you know, and they said they have games to buy. I'm like, I don't trust them to have this game. So I brought my own game, and that game... It's for the Super Nintendo, and it's called Yoshi's Cookie.
Oh, man.
And,
now I'm even more sorry that I missed this.
And so we played... Super Nintendo Yoshi's Cookie is actually different in a lot of important ways, which I can talk about some other time. But myself, Brett, and Walker were playing... First myself and Brett, and then myself, Brett, and Walker. And Walker started, like, commentating on it. Like, not really commentating, but making observations. I guess,
okay.
While we were playing. And we got a lot of and we were also on the station that, like, faced outwards towards the door, so all passers-by could see it. And we were trash-talking each other a little bit while we were playing. And we got a lot of people, like, who, you know, from other places in the room being like, whoa, like, what are you guys playing? We're like, this is some pro Yoko esports.
Yes.
And a lot of people were like, whoa, this looks intense as hell. I'm like, it is. And, I think...
Tell me you showed them the video!
I told them about the GYCL.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, you can see, like, oh yeah, there's a big GYCL, Global Yoshi's Cookie League. There's some footage of it on YouTube, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll find it. I didn't, I guess, direct them to the video.
Yeah,
I
mean, you gotta hand people links or they're gonna...
Yeah, that's true. But, I got a lot of people excited about Yoshi's Cookie, and, I got a lot of people who play fighting games, who play at tournaments, saying that this would be a pretty good, sort of side tournament at any given fighting game tournament.
I've seen some really bizarre stuff at those, too.
Yeah.
Like, there was that one game where you, like, you're a polar bear, and the other guy is also a polar bear, and you're... walking around on cubes, and there are rules about, like, clinging to the outsides of cubes and, like, pulling and pushing.
Oh, that's Catherine. You're a sheep, not a polar bear.
That... What?
Yes.
That was a sheep?
Yes.
That didn't look anything like
a sheep.
It's a sheep.
Catherine is popular. Super Puzzle Fighter, Tetris Attack, Magical Drop.
Catherine? I thought that was that game that Atlas put out last year that was like...
The weird dating sim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
That's the same game?
Yes. It has versus mode.
What?
Yes.
How did no one ever
so
tell
told
me
you
that?
She's Cookie, and that was hype as hell, let me tell you.
Okay. You got it.
We made great strides for esports that night. And then Sunday happened, and what happened Sunday? I went to more places in the expo hall, played the demo for Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm, which is essentially Elite Beat Agents with Final Fantasy music and visuals and all that, and it seemed pretty decent.
This is going off of the strength of Elite Beat Agents and the music from Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, it's sort of a winning formula. Although it changes things up a bit in that in addition to taps and, you know, hold slides, you also have, like, flick movements where it's, like, just do an up on this beat or down on this beat or something. Also, I only played boss mode, which is apparently different from field or event mode.
Random encounter mode.
Yes. And it's depending on the track you choose, you're either in, you know, boss mode. Of, like, for fight-type music, you're in boss mode. For story-type music, you're in event mode. And for just general-type music, you're in field mode.
Are there any functional differences between
these?
Yes,
they do actually play somewhat differently. In boss mode, you have your four characters on the side of the screen, and they each have their own little target hits, but they're essentially just one target hit, and you just do your stuff on the bottom screen. When you're in field mode, sometimes you do things where you have to drag the slider vertically, and in it looked like event mode basically plays very much like EBA, but I didn't actually play it, so I can't be sure. I ended up in boss mode because I naturally picked the four lords of the elements.
Yes.
One of my favorites. And, you know, it's... If you like FF music and you like rhythm games, you probably cannot help but like this game. I like some FF music. Because they go from, like, 1 to 13. So,
yeah, I can't really say that I speak for all of it. But, you know, to be fair, I've never heard, like, outright bad tracks from a Final Fantasy game, so they do have that going for them.
Usually, you know, there'll be something good. So I played that. I played a demo of a TCG made by Penny Arcade called Paint the Line. It's about ping pong.
Okay.
It was pretty fun. The two people who designed the game were actually there, essentially acting as, like, helper, tutorial, judge people, and I played against an artist who did art for some of the cards, because Sunday was also the day where I met with, the one and only Casey Green.
Art of the cards.
Yes, Casey Green was there, and I hung out with him for a while, and he gave me some stuff, and that was pretty great of him. Shoutouts to Casey Green. The card game itself was pretty good. It sort of felt like a midpoint between Yomi and Magic.
Oh my.
Because you have resource cards, stamina cards, that you play and then tap to do other things. But then you tap them to do special types of shots. And there are spins, lobs, and drives. And it's like... drive beats lob beats spin beats drive. And so if you do a shot that beats whatever your opponent's last shot was, your shot is more effective.
Okay.
And when you put out a shot, it like taps itself twice, and so it takes like two turns to recharge. And
well, I mean, that sounds like a relatively complete game.
Yes, it was
something
pretty
that
good.
We could possibly, I don't know, play a bit and review in one of our Skulls casts.
It's not actually reasonably out yet to buy. They're in like the final beta stages, which is why they wanted, you know, feedback about things. There's also a really neat rule in there, called rallying. that sort of dodges, you know, part of the problem of magic and why you made magic too. Which is to say, at any time during your turn, you may discard two cards to draw a card.
Hmm. Okay, so the generic digging for land rule.
Yes, or digging for not land rule. Just sort of general digging at any time is allowed.
Have we had the full, like, knockdown, drag-out Skulls cast about Magic 2 yet?
No, we might have. We'll check. But that was pretty fun. The Paint the Line game was fun. What else did I play a demo of? I played a demo of A Valley Without Wind, which is what Terraria would be if it were good.
And what's Terrarium?
Terraria is Minecraft in 2D, but too complicated for its own good.
Wait, they made it more complicated with 2D?
Because there's like a billion items and a complex crafting system.
Well, I mean, that's what Minecraft suffers from anyway.
And Valley Without Wind is more focused on just being a Metroidvania.
Oh, excellent.
And also has co-op.
Oh, more excellent. Yes. When can we play this game together?
Yes, it actually comes out sometime this month.
Okay, what system?
PC.
That'll make it harder, but we'll do it. Yeah. Whatever.
So that looked pretty neat, and there was actually a developer there from the company, and I talked with him about it a bit, and he's like, okay, because he's like, you know, have you played Terraria? And I'm like, yeah, but because he came over, you know, when I was 5 minutes into the demo, I'm like, yeah, this basically seems like Terraria, but good. And he sort of chuckled at that. He's like, I'm glad you think that. You know, we tried to make it a bit more action-oriented.
Now, to be clear, they're still, like, selling you things at this point. That's still... Okay.
Like, but he's basically... He said, you know, we wanted a game that's, like, co-op Metroidvania exploration. And it still has, like, some crafting-type stuff, but not nearly as much as Terraria. More about just exploring and finding new abilities for your character.
A very limited crafting system can be very good.
Yes.
See Diablo 2, in certain ways Secret of Evermore was kind of like that, because all of the magic was a kind of crafting, and you would get formulas for it from people and, like, de-equip formulas and stuff. What other limited crafting systems that came out to be pretty good? I'd like to say Atelier Iris, but really that doesn't count as limited anymore. No, but it is reasonably complete. Oh, no, there was one. There was a game that had a good crafting system that made sense, and Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Ring of Fates or something.
The DS
that one that's... The one that I tried to get you to play that's basically Diablo.
Yeah, we did play it, and it was pretty awesome.
And it does have a very limited crafting system, but if you know how it works, then you just sort of realize that, oh, I can get, like, this item and this upgrade thing, and it will make it better. And there's no, like... There's sort of, like, randomness to it, and it's kind of simplistic. Maybe that wasn't really what I'm talking about with, like, good crafting systems. Maybe we can do a full... I'll do a little noodling, and we can do more about, like, crafting systems in games and, like, rate them on scales. Because I'm pretty sure I could drop, like, a three-pointed scale of, like, crafting systems, like goodness, complexity, completeness.
Speaking of goodness, another... developer that I went by and bothered on Sunday was Half Brick Studios.
Half Brick?
Half Brick. They're in Australia. Okay. If you have ever heard me extol the virtues of Rascals, they made that.
I have heard you so extol.
They also made, like, some stupid, like, fruit ninja or something. I don't know about that. Apparently it's really popular.
Yeah, whatever. Sounds lame. Who would play
So that? I talked with them for a while. I ended up buying a skeleton who is also a dragon. And he's adorable.
He an adorable skeleton dragon?
Yes.
Yes.
He's smiling, and he's got a happy face. And I asked if they had the wizard skeleton, because he was my favorite skeleton. They only had the dragon.
Ah, well.
And apparently they might be willing to hire me, but I'd have to move to Australia.
That wouldn't be too bad.
That would actually be okay. We'll see. Then I played one of their more recent games, and it was pretty fun. It was Jetpack Joyride. It's one of those mobile-type games. You do a thing, and you're bad at it, but then you earn money to make yourself better at the thing, and then you do it some more.
I think I've seen someone play that. Is it like auto-scrolling, but you have a jetpack to kind of control your altitude while, like, things happen?
Yes. Keep in mind that this game exists in a billion different ways.
Well, yeah, but... Okay, yes. Fair enough.
It could very well have been that one if it had a very happy-looking cartoon man with wearing a shirt and tie and a jetpack.
I only caught a glimpse, but I thought he was wearing a lab coat.
Probably same thing. Yeah, because you're in like a lab and high-fiving scientists as you jetpack by. And, you know, it's small and fun, and it's free, apparently. So that's also a big selling point.
Yeah, okay, so that's going back to Gunstringer design. It's like, we started with a fun idea and didn't go too far.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then what else happened Sunday? Did we go to...
Any more Yoko or Magic or Brawl or...
I think we played
panels.
More Brawl, I think. And also I played some Gunstringer that day.
Sweet.
But then, you know, Sunday night, go back to hotel, and then, like, leave that night, I guess. Yeah, because we had checked out and just kept our bags at the baggage zone there, and we drove on back. And then Monday morning, it's like, okay, whatever, we got my flight, 5 in the evening, and I got sick on the flight, because I do that now, apparently. And I got home around 11 o'clock with my bag full of stuff.
Wait, 11 p.m.?
Yeah.
On Monday?
Yeah.
Jeez.
My flight was scheduled to depart at 7 in the evening, and it got delayed a whole bunch, because the communicator broke. Also, I put really weird emphasis on that word, communicator.
The communicator.
Because I was going to say the communications device. Communications device. Because that
interaction. Right. That is the same.
But then I just decided to go with fewer words.
Well, that's a communicator from Decatur.
Oh, the communicator
Illinois,
from Decatur.
I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's in.
Well, then,
Illinois. I don't know of any.
That was pretty good.
I don't know of any other Decaturs.
So I guess that's the end of, like, actual PAX. Then it's just, you know, random travel stories, and those don't really count.
Well, unless something...
I played Journey.
Either related or...
Which I guess is sort
Journey.
Of related. It's a
I thought that's a band.
It is, but it's also a PS3 game.
Okay. I thought that was, like, a store that is in every mall but nowhere else.
Yes, but it's also a PS3 game.
I'm also thinking of Journeys. Okay. Yeah. What's Journey like?
It's a game where you are a man in a desert and a thing is at the top of the mountain and you need to go get it.
Huh.
And that's about it. The rest
that
is
sounds
just
like
sort
it
of,
could actually be something.
Yeah. It was alright. It made a few parts of it made me pretty upset, and then I got unupset at that thing and got upset at something else, and then got upset at myself. Because
now, is this something you have at home?
No.
No?
It's something I played while I was with Ildes. Cage.
Okay. Journey. Because I'd rather like to... Because it sounds, like, so bizarre that I just have to see and play it.
People really like it on the internet because it's so beautiful and something or other. It did a few things that pissed me off.
Half of why I like Shadow of the Colossus... I mean, the other half being the half of it that is an excellent game. And
okay.
Well, go on.
And so that happened, and then I'm back here, and I still have most of my stuff in my bag, but I have a whole lot of prizes that I won there, and I guess we can play Mini Masters sometime. Maybe a 3 or 4 way type game, because I have 12 packs.
Yeah, dude, that sounds like fun.
That sounds good. Super Giant and bought a Bastion bandana off of them. And I think I bought a copy of Wario's Woods. And then no one had import SNES games. So I couldn't get Kirby no Kira Kira Kizu to finally fill out my Kirby collection.
The shrine is yet missing.
Oh no, I'm so mad. It's also missing Wind Kirby. Gotta fix that too. So, in conclusion, PAX was an interesting experience that I hope to never repeat.
Well, if we go to other cons, we might be able to, like, not travel as far.
Yeah, like MAGFest.
Yeah.
Like MAGFest.
It's pretty comparatively nearby. You know what else would be great? Having, like, an encampment. So you have... Okay. You have your... You go to a convention center, the convention, and that's the wilderness. You're in the wild there. And if you go back to the hotel, that's the safety of your fortress. What we need is an outlying encampment in between the two. So that you don't have to go as far, like going back to the hotel, so you're still basically at the con or nearby it, but you escape from the wild, or you have a resting place, a stopping point, somewhere safe, surrounded by non-insane things or people.
Yeah, that wouldn't work at PAX, partly because they clear everyone out at 2 in the morning. Partly because if you want to be anywhere that is not the convention center or simply outside, you do need to go about a mile and a half or 2 miles.
Yeah. I'd be down with walking a mile to an encampment back and forth.
Well,
but I really
see,
like
at MAGFest, since
walking.
It's 24-hour, you could actually just in a sort of off corner set up an encampment and have an encampment, I guess. You know.
Well, that's
I don't know why anyone would possibly do that. Because also at MAGFest, the comm center is the hotel.
I see.
It's very easy
so that's,
to get
yeah,
back.
That's not too... you wouldn't need that.
That could be interesting, though.
The idea of the encampment. This is important. And I'm sure that there's some appropriate venue for which it... I don't know. That's far off kinds of speculation for me, and I don't generally like going to these things at all.
No.
Because it's too much noise, too many people, not enough to do.
The con center was too big, it had too many people, there were too many things there that I didn't care about, it was extremely corporate, very low energy, very much...
the metal concert.
Very much not MAGFest. And basically, that's what I really wanted to happen. It's just to accidentally be at MAGFest again. So I guess, better start getting ready for MAGFest 2013.
Yeah, what the heck? Maybe I'll join you guys for that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's, because I was kind of, like, not interested at all, but apparently you guys have fun at conventions, and MAGFest isn't that far away.
Oh, yeah, not far at all. Also, it owns Bones.
Plan in advance. Maybe take part in some of the fun. Maybe deliver cookies myself. Mm. Did Pokecatten end up doing that, by the way?
What?
Oh, because I had baked cookies that morning that you guys were like leaving for MAGFest or whatever, and he took them, and I didn't really intend that, but after he had, I'm like, you know what? No, it's okay.
Yeah, we ate some of those. They were good. They went
just
well
take
with
them,
the
and then
amp and rum.
But then I sent a tweet out saying, okay, Pokecatten has my cookies. If you see him there, tell him, and he has to give you one.
I don't think anyone knew who he was there.
Oh, okay.
People knew who I was, though. Fun story. So so one day, I get some food there, you know, at the con center, and it's a little expensive, and I can't quite finish it all. I have some french fries left over, and I'm like, I don't want to throw out these french fries. there's quite a bit left. So I'm like, who can I give these to? People should be happy to get free food. So I find a gentleman wearing a fedora, munching on the last of his French fries. And I say, excuse me, would you like some fries? He says, no, no thank you. And he turns away, and then he turns back, and he says, wait. Are you diabetes? And I did not give the correct answer, which would have been yes.
So of course you say yes.
No, see, oh, I'm so dumb. I gave him a look, I'm like, no, and I hoped that would be the end of it. But he was too smart for me, because his next question was then, what was next? The next thing out of his mouth is, then you must be Medibot.
Oh, damn.
And I'm like, I cannot tell a lie.
Oh, okay.
And then he accepted my French fries.
Oh, well, good. So you got.
So I did manage to offload them. Because it's like, oh, now I'm not just getting fries from a stranger. No, I'm getting fries from a stranger whose voice I've heard before.
On the internet.
On the internet. Yes. I should have said I was diabetes.
Definitely.
I told them later, and they were like, you're an idiot. You should have just said you were diabetes. I'm like, I know.
When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
But then it's like, do I know enough diabetes trivia to feign being... No, I'd say like, yes, but I also have to get going, so goodbye. You know, something like that. Just, that seems mean, though.
Well, I mean, lying to people is maybe...
No.
But, I mean, that's most of
lying
what we
to
do.
Extremely earnest people?
Okay, how earnest can you be wearing a fedora?
Okay,
around?
Yeah, not really. I'm sorry, fedora.
Come on.
Guy.
I've got
really
you right there.
If you're listening to this right now, fedora guy. Also, if you're listening to this now, anyone else who I talk to at PAX East, come to fucking MAGFest. I'll be there.
Yeah. we'll throw down some Yoko for real.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We will flip things over. We will flip people over. I will be flipped over. We'll slam a do. Not even care. Now I'm just really excited for MAGFest. I'm sort of sad that it's like 8 months
well,
away.
Let's plan for that.
Yep.
And until next time. Skulls.
Skulls.